Yo, what up, guys? Chris Chin here. Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Warriors get swept on a back-to-back, shorthanded is the nice thing that I'll say, but oh man, the middle quarters of this back-to-back where you basically just blow a huge loss to the Jazz, up 11 with 3 minutes left, and then just open and just get run off the floor by the Lakers in the first half where I was close to turning off the TV. I just couldn't stand it. But I don't know. They bounced back a little bit, came out, went small to start the second half, and basically ran the Lakers off the court in the third quarter, minus sending them to the line however many times they got there. And that actually was the difference, as the Lakers get into the line. But yeah, guys, I don't know what else to say. It was just this team, we better hope Jimmy Butler is pretty darn good, because this team needs a lot of help in a lot of areas, and they're just, like most teams in the NBA, just so inconsistent with their effort, with their focus, with their shooting, which can you blame them? They just don't have that many good shooters. Quite frankly, they have two real shooters in Steph and Buddy, and both have just been pretty cold for the last couple of months, streaky at best. So, I mean, honestly, you know, Jimmy will help. Jimmy's going to help when we get to that, the last 2-3 minutes of games where we've actually struggled the most, and you know he's going to be able to get us into some better shots, such some better looks and some shot creation when the game slows down into the half court. So you know that'll help. How many wins it translates to, I don't know. How much it improves the spacing and helps Steph, I don't know, because you're pretty much losing your best spacer in Wiggins. And, you know, Jimmy provides spacing in other ways, but he's not nearly the three-point catch-and-shoot shooter that Wiggins was. So, I mean, let's start here with, let's just talk about Steph Curry. It's time to have a real talk about Steph, because he's been struggling for a while now. It's been, you know, we've seen him struggle before, and, you know, even in 2021-22 when they ended up winning the championship, you know, that was arguably his worst regular season in 10 years. I think he only shot 38% from three that year. He's still shooting, I think, at least 40% this year, although he emptied the clip last night. The shooting's okay. You know, I can understand why the shooting's not there. He's just rarely is he having his feet set. You know, he's everyone's all over him, all eyes are on him. We understand that the difficulty of three-pointers and the frequency that he's able to get separation is less than ever before. That all being said, it's everything inside the three-point arc that's really hurting Curry. And you know, we can point to a lot of different issues. I mean first off, is you know, he always has his turnovers, but usually when he's kind of, you know, in the lane, he's headed downhill, he's usually making much better decisions. This year especially, I haven't seen so many sloppy turnovers. It honestly looks like me at LA Fitness, just, you know, playing too fast, playing out of control, just getting kind of stuck or leaving your feet, not really knowing and being decisive on where you want to go, and you just get kind of caught in the air and throw it away. He's getting swatted at the hoop more than I've ever seen, whereas I used to think Steph was one of the most creative and just kind of crafty finishers in the league. And when he's getting to the hoop, he isn't finishing. You know, he's a very good left-handed finisher, and you know, he's missing some of those. I thought he's always been a better left-handed finisher than a right-handed finisher, and he's really struggling to finish with the right. I mean, you can point to a lot of different things. I tend to think that just not having spacing to pass the ball out to in the lane closes by the defenders is clearly one of the biggest issues. Little declining athleticism and just unable to kind of elevate, or you know, just not quite as agile. I don't think he's using his D cell very well. Like, you see Pajemski use it well, and in Curry's best year, which was like the foul baiting year, like before they changed the rules on foul baiting, he was so good at just decelerating in the lane and getting kind of bumped from behind and then finishing for an and one. I mean, where's that, right? Like, I don't even care. You don't even have to pick up the foul. If they're not going to call it, they're not going to call it. But, you know, at the very least, it kind of just changed the rhythm, changed the shot blocker's timing. You know, the best way to eliminate a shot blocker is just to get your body into them, which Steph used to do very well. Not as much anymore. I mean, is it that he's protecting himself, which I tend to think is probably the case here, combined with getting older? I mean, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. It's Steph, right? Like he's not. I don't think he's just going to decline that quickly. So we'll just give him the benefit of the doubt that he's pretty dinged up. First and foremost, the thumb hasn't shot great since he's hurt his thumb. He had it taped up for better part of a what, 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks. He's taken it off recently, but it's still obviously bothering him. You know, his thumb is probably not going to be right until maybe later in the season at best if he doesn't keep tweaking it. The All-Star break will be a much needed rest, but how much rest is he even going to get as the host of the All-Star game, essentially? The knee tendonitis we already know about, and you know, it's something you can play through. I deal with it myself. You know, it's something that it bugs you when you're not warmed up, but once you get warmed up, stretched out, kind of, you know, you kind of get everything kind of rubbed and loosened up a bit, it feels okay. Towards the end of games, it starts to flare up and get a little achy. And then, you know, as the games and the season gets deeper, you know, it starts to be a little more achy and you get this a little less springiness. And it's just, you feel a little heavy legged, especially kind of in that knee area. I think he's dealing with a decent amount of that, at least in one of his knees. And then I think his left ankle, I think he tweaked it a little while ago. And I think he ended up, or what was it, like a couple weeks ago? And I don't think he ended up missing a game. Yeah, I don't think he did, but you know, you saw him last night with a shoe off sitting on the sideline. I would have to think that's him just kind of getting it off, letting the blood flow out of there, just kind of get the swelling down a little bit. It's kind of an odd thing to do, just sit there with your shoe off towards the end of the third quarter. So I would have to think that that ankle's still kind of bugging him because he rolled it pretty good when it first happened. So all those things combined is why he's, you know, struggling downhill. He's trying to protect himself. He doesn't have the same burst, explosiveness, agility. But you know what really is killing Steph, and it's the separation when he does finally get one-on-one opportunities, right? Like some of these like power forwards, even sometimes centers are getting switched onto him. He's not making them pay like he used to. You know, the patented go back, or his patented go-to move, that little separation or that little step back to get separation when he's driving left, kind of to the left wing there, and then kind of steps back, shoots it. I mean, obviously we've seen him do it a million times, so the defender's sitting on it, but he never really had problems getting that off before. It seems like he's just not quite getting the same separation on that shot, even against centers. The blow-bys are just not quite as good as they used to be, and even when they are, it's the downhill problems we've been talking about. So that's what gives me cause for concern, right? It's just like when he gets all the coverage in the world, but when he does get one-on-one opportunities, it just doesn't look very convincing that, hey, like this guy is impossible to stop. Like, you know, when Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, even with 1.5 guys there, there's just nothing you can do. Like De'Aaron Fox, a lot of times when he's just, you know, when he's going, there's just nothing you can do. He's just by you and he's just getting whatever he wants. Anthony Edwards, I mean, I'm talking about like the fastest guys and guards in the league. But because Steph, you know, is 6'1", 6'2" with his shoes on, isn't the most explosive athlete, you know, isn't the strongest athlete. You know, he needs to be able to separate with quickness and kind of change a direction and craftiness, if he is going to get that shot off. And it's just my last point is that, you know, I always thought Steph was going to age better than everybody, right? As a shooter, I thought he, you know, would age much better than LeBron, who's, you know, just a pure athlete, a big body, and no one's LeBron, except maybe like Tom Brady, which is different. But yeah, I mean, Curry, his body's holding up okay, but I thought as a shooter he would just age like fine wine. We're learning that to be that shooter, you still need to get that separation, and we're kind of starting to see where Steph's deficiencies are, you know, for being a, in my opinion, top five player of all time. You know, I don't think anyone else you can name in that conversation would really just struggle to get to you know, an isolation shot kind of like Steph has. It's always been the knock on Steph, right? He gets doubled, he's a great passer out of it, but he's not going to beat many double teams just because of his smaller stature. And that's okay. You know, it doesn't mean you have to be an elite isolation scorer against anybody to be the best of all time. But it's something that's really starting to hurt Steph, especially in clutch time. Speaking of clutch time, kind of moving off of Steph, I think he'll be okay as he gets healthier, as he gets a little more spacing, and just, you know, the shots will fall. The one more thing I'll say about Steph is that, you know, in the last 24 hours, he unloaded the clip. Right, we were concerned about him being too passive and just having like scoreless quarters and, you know, five attempt halves. Unloaded the clip, 66 field goal attempts in the last 2 days. Shot 38%, which is not good. And he was only that good because he got hot in the fourth last night. But, I would still rather Steph be out aggressive and empty the clip and shoot, the low 40 percentiles with most of them being threes than pretty much anyone else on this roster taking, any sort of a non-wide open shot. So enter Jimmy Butler to take some of those off of him and get better looks. But Steph, keep being aggressive. Okay, back to clutch time. What the Warriors can do, we know, is get to clutch time. They lead the league in clutch games played. You're getting basically to the last 4 minutes of the game, and you're within, I think, what is it, 5 points. So they can get there. The problem is they might be the worst offensive clutch team in the league. Just once the game slows to the half court, once the other teams just say it's anybody but Curry's going to beat us, and nobody else can beat them, save for some games where Wiggins or Kuminga or Pajemski have hit a couple of shots down the stretch. It's been tough, right? Schroeder, throw him in there maybe a couple of times. But now enter Jimmy Butler and those, well, how many clutch games have we even played? Call it 25 clutch games, and Jimmy Butler's probably going to give you in those games an extra three or four more quality possessions that you otherwise would not have gotten, where otherwise you're getting, off balanced Buddy Hield or Wiggins shots. Now you're getting a couple extra points if Jimmy's going to be efficient, and maybe you're sneaking out another two, maybe three wins in the clutch that you hadn't been. In addition, he can also give you a little bit more defensive presence. Who knows? Him and Wiggins fairly negligible on the defensive side. But Jimmy gives you that element of just a couple more wins, a couple just better possessions, a couple less turnovers. I'm so sick of the turnovers down the stretch. And I know inherently with the Warriors kind of motion offense and all the dribble handoffs and just all the layered passing and aggressive back cuts, there's going to be turnovers. But at the end of games, you cannot have empty possessions. That's why you need a star who can score in isolation or tough baskets. Give me Jimmy Butler just, in the post, back to the basket, 8 feet away, shooting a turnaround, fadeaway jump away, jump, fade around, jeez, fade away, turnaround jumper. And that's a better shot than what the Warriors are generating these days. So I think in the aggregate, give me a couple more wins just by adding Jimmy Butler just at the end of clutch time. The lineup, right? What is this lineup going to look like in the clutch? Obviously, you got 30 in there. You're gonna have Jimmy. You're gonna have Dre. You're going to most likely play. Let's just say Draymond's gonna be at the five, so we're going small. So that way, Kuminga has to be in there. Non-negotiable. Kuminga has to be in at the end of games. It's got to be Steph, Jimmy, JK, and Dre. I know the spacing is kind of messed up. It's really messed up. But you're athletic. It's a switchable defense. You have enough shot creation. You have Jimmy and JK who can get downhill, most importantly, two guys that can go get to the line, get something going towards the hoop, just kind of create some defensive rotation. But then you have to surround that with a shooter. And I mean, I know he's streaky and I know he gets hot. And if he's hot, you can leave him in. But man, I'm just done with this Buddy Hield thing. He's fine. He's fine as a seventh, eighth guy off the bench who's, just gonna put up a handful of threes a game and hopefully make a couple of them. I think it needs to be Moody. I mean, basically the options are it's gonna be Moody or it's Pajemski, or you're going big and playing Looney there, but then you have literally zero spacing, so that's not even an option there. Moody's been playing great. Pajemski's been playing well. But personally, I think Moody gives you just, he's just a better shooter. You just need a spacer in that lineup. Moody can also get to the hoop if you're closing out hard and he can kind of just get to the hoop a bit better. Pajemski's a better connector of players and just kind of keeps, can push the pace out in transition. Pajemski's a great transition player. I think towards the end of games, the transition game just pretty much disappears and it's all half court. So I need the spacing from Moody. I like his size, gives you a little bit of more just athleticism in general. But that's assuming Moody's hitting his shots, right? If Moody's not hitting his shots, then you could make the argument that it's nice to have Pajemski, just as another ball handler and just another creator. It's weird to say this, but I don't know if shot creation is the biggest issue finally, now that Jimmy Butler's on the roster here. So I would like to see this Moody lineup with these four. The other question on the defensive side of the ball is your point of attack defense. So I'm going to assume Jimmy Butler, depending on who the other team's best player is going to be on the ball, right? He's your primary point of attack defender. Yes, Jimmy's 36 years old, and we'll see what he's got in him, but you're asking a lot of him, but he's taking on that Wiggins role. That's what you signed him to do. He has to be able to take on that role. But who's your secondary point of attack defender? You know, who are you putting on that second, on that Jalen Williams or on Jalen Brown or whoever your second offensive wing player is? I mean, do you trust Moody? Do you trust Jonathan Kuminga? I guess it kind of depends what kind of player you're playing here. You know, if you're, geez, that's just tough. I think the answer there is Kuminga. I mean, Moody's long and, you know, Moody's an okay defender, but Kuminga's, for all his struggles off the ball defensively and knowing where to be, you're probably better off just putting him on the ball as a point of attack defender where he actually, that's what he does best on the defensive side of the ball. So I think you're going to be looking at, and I know he's coming off that ankle injury, which is tough to put him in that, but you're looking at Jimmy and JK just kind of being your perimeter point of attack defenders, which means Moody's going to have to be able to guard big, right? You're going to have to be able to defend that power forward spot potentially. And that's where he's been okay. You know, I think Moody struggles against faster offensive players. He's been fine being strong, playing big. You know, he even holds his own against like a LeBron James. I mean, maybe we just put Jackson Rowe in there at the end of games, right? And I mean, he's been a great shooter in the G League, and he seemed to defend LeBron James pretty well, but kind of a similar archetype with type with Moody. So I like, at the very least, you're going to get Moody consistent minutes. Him and Kuminga just must play. I mean, I also like keeping Pajemski, keep the minutes up, but I think he's better off as a sixth man, you know, just kind of lead that second unit. And if he really does have it going and Moody's not shooting well, you can mix and match that as you want to. You know, that fifth spot's just going to be kind of a revolving door. But for now, I would like to see a Steph, Moody, Jimmy, JK, Draymond lineup when at our best. Let's talk about, you know, what the offense is going to look like now with Jimmy Butler, right? What kind of actions, what changes really? And the two different sets that the Warriors are basically going to go to all the time here with Jimmy, and it gives you an advantage over what Wiggins was able to give you. The first is, you know, the Warriors patented split action. You know, pass the ball into the post, and you have two guys cutting off of that. Either one cuts, one flares out for a three. You know, they're working off of each other, screening off of each other, kind of a little two-man game, and potentially even another back cut from a third player. But and all the iterations that we've seen of this, especially in recent memory, you don't get a threat from the guy with the ball in the post, right? A lot of times it's like Looney or Dre or just whoever, you know, is in that post. They're not a post scorer. They're not someone that, you know, if it breaks down, can just kind of create from there on their own towards the end of the shot clock. You saw Kyle Anderson try to do it a few times, and he's actually not bad just kind of getting to a spot and missing a five-footer. But it's something that Andre Iguodala used to be able to bring. You know, you get that ball into Iggy in the post, and he, you know, he sees the floor well, he can make that good pass. But when in doubt, he can just kind of back his way down and get you a good look. That's where Jimmy Butler excels, right? He is just phenomenal in that post. You know, assuming you're going to have a wing or a guard on him, you know, use that size, get to a little fade, or make the right pass. So I think that's going to be kind of the Warriors' bread and butter for the most part. Find a way to just post Jimmy and then run split action off of it, or just clear out and let him go to work. So that's going to be, you know, call that, you know, 3, 4, 5 possessions a game. You're going to be getting an extra threat in that kind of a split action. The other one is pick and roll, right? Warriors don't use a ton of pick and roll, but they are going to have to with Jimmy Butler, because the Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler pick and roll is going to be really effective. Maybe not to the same effect with Draymond Green and Steph, just because of the chemistry, but you can run Steph, Jimmy, either 1-3 or 3-1 inverted pick and roll. Obviously, with Steph on the ball, Jimmy can set him a screen, and, you know, the defense can either react by trapping Steph, and then you know he's giving it to Jimmy playing 4-on-3. You can switch it, and then either, you know, Steph's gonna have a mismatch against kind of a bigger guy, which we've talked about has been okay, but he needs to exploit that. Or you're getting a smaller defender that was on Steph, switched on to Jimmy, and that's the matchup that you're going to exploit. That's where Wiggins has been having a lot of success, is just kind of getting mismatches against a smaller defender, finding his way to that little right hand down on the block, and just getting some good looks attacking the hoop. Jimmy Butler's going to do that and then some. So that's just a deadly 1-3. Then you can invert it, which Steph is a great screener. You know, we've run this with Durant back in the day. We ran this with Kuminga a bit, more so last year, but Steph's the screener. And then you have your small forward, who would be Jimmy, just coming off that screen. You know, you have to respect Steph, and you know, you cheat just a little to Steph, and all of a sudden the ball handler Jimmy will just turn the corner, get downhill. If you're playing Jimmy, obviously Steph can just pop out, and nothing's better than a Steph catch and shoot three. Or you switch it again, and Steph now, and Jimmy now has that same mismatch we talked about earlier. And then lastly, kind of just other just general offense. So you're going to be moving basically to Kuminga, assuming he's going to be at the three sometimes, or at the four, but he's basically going to be on the weak side. So you kind of have the action, a strong side to Jimmy and Steph, weak side. Kuminga is going to get all he can eat shooting threes from the corner and that weak side wing. If he can continue shooting that 36-37%, keep on shooting it, especially when your feet are set with all the missed time. We'll see how that jumper and that shot comes along. But the good news is, when you're coming off an injury, I would know all you're really doing until you can actually get back on the court and start playing is you're just shooting jump shots, right? Like, there's a good solid couple weeks where all Kuminga's probably been doing is just shooting. So we'll see how it translates, and hopefully that shot continues to improve. And then if there is a closeout or he just has that lane, you know, he's attacking from the weak side and just attacking the rim before the defense can recover. So those are the things with the geometry and the personnel that are really going to improve with Jimmy here. And hopefully it's just going to unlock Steph a bit more. Draymond's going to have a lot more open threes, which he's not been shooting it well lately, but hopefully he can get back closer to 38-39%, which is crazy to think. And then Kuminga, we'll see when he's ready, but probably a couple weeks off still. Last thought, the not going after Vucevic. So probably would have taken Gary Payton II and Loon, you know, both expiring contracts, to go get Vucevic. You might have even had to throw in TJD or just some filler there. Man, it's tough, right? I mean, Looney's been playing great all season. You see what Looney brings you. You lose Looney and, you know, TJD's getting 0 minutes these days. You know, who is your center outside of Draymond Green as a small center? You know, and then you're playing Vooch there, which is a stretch center, but defensively, I mean, you're struggling defensively there, right? Like, that's what Loon's going to give you. Loon's obviously going to give you rebounds. He's going to give you offensive rebounds. And Gary Payton's the same way, gives you extra possessions. But most importantly, I'm just talking on the defensive side of the ball. Like, that would be a huge hit defensively to lose both GP2, who is essentially, like we talked about earlier, your secondary point of attack defender, sometimes your primary point of attack defender. You know, you lose that, and now you're asking a guy like Moody, a guy like Buddy Hield, who isn't necessarily a two-way player, to play a lot of that wing spot, as, you know, one of your important defenders doing a lot of defending on star level talents. So GP2 gives you that luxury of being able to eat some, you know, 15 minutes, 20 minutes a game on the perimeter. And we already know what Looney brings defensively. Losing both of them, and this defense would have been extremely thin. However, the Warriors' real problem is offense, and Gary Payton's real problem is offense. So Vooch would have given you an extra, call it 17, 18 points within this offense. Would he keep shooting 41% from three-point land like he has been this season? I don't believe so. He's already started cooling off a bunch, and you're probably getting a 36, 37% shooter. You're getting a lot, very good rebounder, but you're just getting destroyed. You see what happens to Quentin Post on defense. You know, Vooch is very similarly on defense, where, you know, he can be big, he can defensive rebound, but when push comes to shove, they're attacking him in high leverage situations over and over and over. So my take on it is, I guess I'm okay with not getting Vooch. I would have been happy to get him, but this does give you, you know, $20 million less dollars off the books as you head to next season. Realistically speaking, I'm not expecting the Warriors to go on a long run this year. So a little bit more flexibility. You could even re-sign Loon and or GP2 for maybe hopefully cheaper contracts than you're unloading on their expiring. All right. Well, where do we go from here? 31 games left. This team, I think, I'd say it's safe to think they would go 15 and 16 exactly as is. But they got Jimmy, and they're going to win an extra three, maybe even four kind of close games in the stretch because of what he brings you. So go maybe like 18 and 13 these last 31 games, and you'll find yourself in the play-in. And if something kind of clicks and, you know, you can go maybe, you know, 21 and 10 or 20 and whatever, 11, you know, you might find yourself somehow able to bypass the play-in kind of depending how things shake out. All right, well, mark this as the next chapter in the Warriors. We will see tomorrow when the Warriors go to Chicago and Jimmy Butler is in the lineup. We'll see the chemistry. We'll see how it clicks. Should take a little bit of time for them to figure it out, but they also have the All-Star break to kind of gel and you know, get some practices in. So, yeah, we'll talk after our next game, guys. Hope you enjoyed the trade deadline because I sure didn't, except for like one little blip where we got Jimmy and that was it. All right. Have a good one, guys. I'll talk to you next time. Like, subscribe. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.